like. This is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like tight right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me ain't it Christ like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike. Resting on a gas, supernova for a night light. Screaming at my dad, and he told me ain't it Christ like. But nobody never tell you when you're being like Christ. Only ever seeing me, only when they need me. Like if Tyler Perry made a movie for BT, searching for a deity. Now you wanna see it free, now you wanna see it free. Let you see it through your piece. Tell me what your life like. Turn it down a bright light. Driving with my dad, and he told me it ain't Christ like. I'm just trying to find, I've been looking for a new way. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way. I don't have a cool way. Being on my best though. Lock up on a text though. Nothing else next though. Not another word, letter, picture, or a decimal. Wrestling with God, I don't really want to rest. So, man, it's really lifelike. Everything in my life. Arguing with my dad, and he said it ain't Christ like. Man. You know, it's like somebody only close to could get you like off your. I be on my. I woke up this morning, I said my prayers, I'm all doing good. I try to talk to my dad, get him some advice. He starts spazzing on me. I start spazzing back. He said, they ain't Christ like. I said, ah!
Spazzing on you tonight, verbose.xyz. I'm your host, the mad scientist, Miles Lowroad, couple with my man, Black Killer Mike, a.k.a. 2-for-1 RB Special, a.k.a. the conspiracy theorist, Illuminati extraordinaire. I got Crafter in the house. How you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah, just fucking here. Vibing off that Kanye, showing that ignorance, you know, has many different flavors.
I would say the best Christian rapper, though.
I agree.
The in best existence. Christian rapper
ever to exist.
We are live here for you for number 41 on the run. And no one ain't watching, but we're still fucking throwing it out at all of you. All two of you out there on TV watching land. Maybe one day space aliens will pick up on the shit. Who knows? We got a lot to cover tonight, and mostly on one topic. But I see the fucking light at the end of the tunnel. It's been quite a wild ride. It's been a really thick forest to traverse, for real. Lots of people talking about here nor there, and everybody really keeping track of it, man. The government, if that's one thing they got going on, man, is like transcripts of like everything people say and like exact dates and shit, you know. You know how like you get a job and they tell you like to protect yourself, you got to document incidents that happen and shit. That's like all you, I feel like that's all you do when you're a congressperson. You're just like constantly got fucking glass to the wall listening in on shit. So we'll be exposing the swamp for what it is tonight as usual. First importantly, I gotta check in with you, man. Fucking when were we actually gonna get stuff done, you know, in the congressional branch of government? Do you think that's gonna happen anytime soon?
It seems like never. It seems like this is the system that they wanted to build, that they just wanted it to be a fucking swamp of nothingness and wasting millions of dollars and hours of time to get nowhere and fucking help no one.
Because I feel like that's a really big part of it. It's like, we got this money, we got to spend it to keep it, and we got to kind of share it around with people that have our best interest in mind. And you'll kind of actually hear this in the sound bites tonight, of how thick this litigation really is, and how many people are actually in the web of the communication hole. You think that these little speeches they're giving in this impeachment inquiry are like, I'm a representative from Georgia and I went home. I can't really say that because that guy's fucking dank. What's his name? Jordan? Mr. Jordan? All these fucking characters, like watching fucking Survival or some shit. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's not like these representatives went home and they like wrote this amazing speech, or the witnesses wrote these amazing speeches. That's not the case. Instead, it's these fucking team of lawyers that are like, okay, this is the information we have, this is what we got in discovery, this is what we understand about what's going on, and these are the things that our client understands, but this is what they experience within it, and where they got the information from each thing. You know, it's like this play-by-play calculated speech that just literally these figureheads in place put there to like put this out into the ether of government. And then after that, it's cycled through this amazing maze of like bipartisan media that fucking tears the country apart. And here we are fighting amongst each other about Orange Man Bad.
I mean, I heard some crazy shit looking on the internets about all this. They're saying, because like, they brought up Pence today or in the latest testimony.
Do you recall which person, which Pence they brought up, or what person brought up Pence rather?
That army guy, the Navy guy. I don't know.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they brought up Biden or Biden. They brought up Pence in some conversations. They always bring up Biden, but they brought up Pence as well. And there's some conspiracy just roaming around saying that they're trying to take out Trump and Pence and give the country to Nancy Pelosi.
That's been a thing for a minute. Alex Jones has literally been saying that for like since 2016, man. Like this idea that they're going to co-opt the government, get rid of both Trump and Biden, and put Nancy Pelosi as the all-seeing eye of the fucking DNC. I don't know, man. That's pretty far-fetched to me. But speaking of Biden, did you happen to catch any of that number 10 DNC debate? Was that number 10?
I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. They're so goddamn
man. They're so arduous. That's arduous too, man. When you get into this like whole gig of presenting your own shtick, your own spin, your own edge on the news, man, it's hard work because the shit that you have to wade through is so thick and stinky. It really does hurt and take a toll on your psyche.
I mean,
I thought.
did you happen to hear my favorite Joe Biden quote of like the year though? I mean,
no.
It was the best one. We need to stop violence against women. We need to just keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Oh, my fucking.
Joe Biden, 2019.
God, dude. There were some golden ones. I have a portion of it recorded. I can cut into clips for next week. It just cut it too close this week. But my computer's back. That's cool. Fuck yeah. But when he was giving like his closing remarks and shit, it's just he like. He gets notes from his guy. He doesn't have his readers on, and he thinks that he's still as charismatic as he was when he was elected state representative at the age of 29. He's going up there with the same ego, but not the same brain, you know. And it's just like he comes out with this passion for what he's saying, and then he just loses his train of thought in the emotion of it, and just keeps going with it like he's riffing. You know, I feel like he would do really good on verbose.xyz, just like riffing on his train of thought. But that's not what America is looking for in a leader. You know, they're looking for someone that's got an understanding of what's going on in the world and feels like, you know, that they have the best interests in mind for the people, not themselves, not their bottom line. And you look at that debate stage, man, and you don't see very many people that really could get the job done. You do see a lot. I can't say you can't see people that don't care about America. Cause like, I feel like there's genuinely people up there that care about America. Tulsi Gabbard, Andrew Yang,
Yang gang.
Just because it's fun to say, not because it's true.
Give him my 12K.
Yeah. I want that, man. Could you imagine, dude? Imagine 12K a year for nothing. Where the fuck is that going to come from? You tell me that.
From tax
wealth
money.
Okay, yeah. Wealth tax, but what other taxes?
No, they're just going to give you 12K back of your taxes that you already paid. Like, here, man, have it back.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Here you go. We could. And that's funny, too. Like, why don't you just put in place, you know, things like taking away the taxes we pay. That'd be cool.
Yeah, the Ron Paul plan. Eliminate the IRS. Eliminate the Federal Reserve.
Hell yeah. And kind of leave it up to state control to control their area, you know, state pride. Like, you want to keep your roads going? That's what your tax money goes to. It's not to fucking squander on bullshit and then take back her money.
Let's return to the gold standard. We've only been off it for 40-something years.
Oh, my God. Yes. And we haven't talked about Bitcoin in a while. What do you think about the Bitcoin standard?
Bitcoin is... Fuck. I want it to blow up. I'm still hodling. But it's overhyped bullshit, yo. It's overhyped fucking bullshit. It's just... It's got to the point where it's like, you know what it is? It's a fucking... It's a P2P ledger. That's it. It's a P2P ledger that fucking everyone keeps to keep track, and it's useful. I can't deny its usefulness, but I just don't see it going to the moon or nothing. I don't see me becoming rich off of it.
I currently don't either, man. Hey, what up, El Japo? I didn't realize you were out there in TV Washington. And fun fact, Crafter at one point was a Dogecoin millionaire.
Yeah, I had a million of them Doges.
Yeah, I wanted to do that with Turtle just because I wanted to say that, you were a millionaire and something. That would be awesome. Because I don't know when it's going to happen for USD. I'd like it to happen. Maybe I'll be like 75 or some shit. I want to go out like my grandpa, you know. He definitely retired, but he never stopped working, so to speak. I think that's admirable, and I think that's something we should be teaching our kids.
Do you think Bitcoin would have helped him in any way? Do you think a technology like Bitcoin avoiding banks would have profited him more in any way? Or do you think it would have just... It's just like a little niche. It's just like, hey, it's like...
I think for the time, no.
Digital anarchy.
I don't think Bitcoin was needed when my grandpa was around because everything was to the gold standard. It was the Fed. When did the Fed begin?
I have no idea when the Fed began, but I could Google it for you. Where's Gary?
Where is the fuck is Gary? We need a Gary in our life. Gary, if you're out there in TV watching land, we want you. Was it Nixon-ish? I'm not sure.
Federal Reserve System and central banking was created December 23rd, 1913.
Interesting. But I feel still like in the 50s or even in the 40s, you didn't feel the effects as of today of the feds, you know? It's like as the gold to dollar ratio shrank, it's like how things got worse and worse and worse. And now it's like, we could just print more money. It blows my mind.
Especially when it doesn't have to represent gold, which was completely severed the link in 1971.
Mm-hmm. Imagine how cheap shit would be still, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, inflation.
We wouldn't have as much inflation.
You can't mine gold so fast as you can create more paper money.
Wow. And believe me, they still find gold out there. Nowhere near the veins they were finding back in the minor 49er days, 1849. But they do still find gold. You should see how they fucking blast that out of mountains, man. People think, you know, about pollution and like cars and things like that, but we don't think about mining. Mining's fucking crazy. Everything seen a lithium strip mine before?
No.
I
saw some gold mine in Nairobi and all these people were raiding it. They just like hundreds of people rushed in and stole gold and it was awesome.
That's legit.
But strip mining for gold, like you just your clothes off?
No, what you see a lot of is like hydro strip mining where they'll like take hoses and spray them at mountainsides. It does two things. It erodes, but it also creates channels where the gold naturally sluices through these cracks, and then you could look through these areas for that gold. Obviously, they have the old tricks of dynamite, but the coolest fucking things were the big-ass dredge machines. It looks like a fucking tractor had sex with a fucking chainsaw with big buckets. So it's like chainsaw bucket thing that fucking grinds into the mountain, pulls up scoops of earth at the same time, and then drops them off into a sifter that then sifters down a conveyor belt into a finer sleuth, and then fucking your gold at the bottom and shit. That's some crazy shit, man. Fucking talk about like using the earth. You know, like Christians feel, I feel like a lot of Christians use that that thought about like, taking from the earth is that like God gave the earth to us to use for our means or whatever. I feel like people take that to the extreme. It's like, okay, cool, I'm gonna dig up this whole fucking mountain, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Humans have taken it to extreme in every single way, in like food production and cultivation, and just gotten way too far. We're creating excess in every way, and destruction for just the sake of we can. It's kind of weird that we haven't found like that, you know, good place of right consumption to growth.
You know, I'm gonna be honest though. I don't have an idea. I don't have a problem with the idea of like I want to do this because I can. I have a problem when it's like I want to do this for more money and fuck other people. Like, I don't know. I know it's a thin line there, and like you create a nuclear bomb because you can, and you create a nuclear bomb because you want to control the world, and you both people set them off. It's still a fucking nuclear bomb. But... I either get nuked ethically and not ethically, morally. That's the problem with all this fucking shit going on in politics right now. Like, it's all immoral, you know? But is it against the law? That's the blurry line. And I feel like that's the blurry line that's been carried on for so long. Thank you, Bilderberg Group, for all that you do for us and the amazing professional wrestling show that is the political theater. Super appreciate it, y'all.
Suck a dick.
Speaking of which, we have a PSA for you tonight. This is something that I think that all of you need to keep in mind, and we hope you enjoy. This is actually from C-SPAN, and it's the Juicy Juice.
Last lick on Jerry Epstein, and how can I put this? Christmas ornaments, drywall, and Jerry Epstein. Name three things that don't hang themselves. That's what the American people think. That's what the American people...
that's fucking
that's
good.
What they think. That's what they think, my dude. Yeah. And apparently it's Jerry Epstein now. That was a clip from C-SPAN, John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy. It is, ma'am. I feel like that's the same thing with that guy, Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Lieutenant Colonel.
How the fuck did these guys get elected? What kind of fucking people they have writing this shit to cover up the fucking obvious? Like, oh god, god, mm-hmm. God, what happened here? I mean, Thanos was right, man. We need 50% gone immediately.
But seriously, a shout out to C-SPAN. Like, if you have some sort of like TV subscription, obviously you can sign into it. But for free, all of the clips and all of the like the complete broadcasts are there after they're live. And literally, they have built into the web UI abilities to cut it and then like create clips and like save to an account. And there's kind of a thriving community. Well, maybe not. It's like 36. I think the largest view count, I think it was like 7,000. But still, it's like you could cut up your own clips. And if you're an amateur, a journalist of any sort, it would be easy to like run all your shit off this and give your own spin. Because I'll give C-SPAN credit for this. That shit is the closest thing you will find news-wise to unbiased opinion. Being able to get the fucking milk directly from the cow on this shit, you know? So urge all of you out there that are politically minded, fucking go out there and do the research for yourself. Obviously, we're going to give our spin like any other outfit. Hopefully, it's entertaining. And also, hopefully, it's more middle of the road. But obviously, at the end of the day, you got to make your own choices in all of this. So, yeah, that's a good tool out there.
Fuck your choices.
What?
Fuck your choices.
What?
What was that?
What? Huh?
Did you just call me a racist?
Yeah, you're racist.
I don't think brown people can be racist.
Yeah, that's possibly true. I haven't done the full research, but you know, I'm on that. I'll get back to you, sir.
That's very diplomatic of you. It's like you've been watching C-SPAN for a while.
Yep. Excuse me. Should I be objectifying to the questions here. That's all I'm saying.
I recuse the rest of my time to the Speaker of the House.
I did not have sex with that woman.
So, fun fact from El Japo, Browns equal 34.7834% racist. That makes sense that he would have that statistic. Why? Because he's Asian.
That's more than a third.
I guess I'm proving myself racist. That's pretty cool. I respect your, I may not respect, I think you could say that, right? I may not respect a word that you say, but I do respect your right to say it. Yeah. Proving points today. Oh, what's going on here? Sorry. I only had one energy drink tonight.
Oh, I can tell.
Can you tell? I got to wean myself off, man. I do them every fucking Wednesday trying to get down, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to get Epstein'd.
Keeping it real. Yeah, for real. That might happen now. I think we might get Alex Jones, though, you know, before we get Epstein'd.
Yeah,
get Epstein'd. Yeah, doesn't that... That's an interesting dichotomy. If you like, you look at the left side of things, it's like Jeffrey Epstein, fucking Harvey Weinstein, and then fucking the other side of it's like Alex Jones, fucking fucking Roger Stone. You know, Jesus, it is directly like professional wrestling.
Now, and the more and more criminal Roger Stone.
Yeah, holy shit, that's a piece of news for you. Convicted on all accounts. Has he been sentenced yet?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about it. But, yep, he was talking to WikiLeaks before they dropped information. That's what the court said. I don't know if it's the truth, but that's what the court said.
Yeah. I don't know, he claimed that he didn't. But you know how fucking media is, man. It goes through many, many channels. And I feel like Roger Stone's weaselly enough to be all up in those channels.
How does that make you feel about WikiLeaks? Oh, sorry. I digress.
I don't know. My biggest gripes with any of those outfits like WikiLeaks is that they play politics. I mean, both sides released on both ends, but then I feel like it always kind of wanes one way or another. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Fucking that may or may not be the case. I like the idea of the whistleblower coming forward and being brave and saying I'm doing this for the people, you know. I respect Edward Snowden for that. This whole testimony within you know, this impeachment inquiry right now is embarrassing, because if you people are really care about the country, everyone, you know, it's like you get arrested for shoplifting but you're wrongfully accused. And then you take a plea deal because you don't want to risk it. Like, wait, what? You're not fucking guilty. You know, it's not even you on camera. Like, you didn't even give it a chance to go to trial. Like, why? If you really passionately felt that you were right, why wouldn't you come forward? And that goes for the left and right. Like, I want to see Giuliani out there. You know, let's see the whistleblower. Let's see fucking Shifty Shift fucking give his, you know, go before questioning. Before the House, let's see fucking you know, Giuliani get out there. I think that's what we're talking about, like fair, you know, fair, unbiased, get it out there. I was gonna go off on something else, but fucking we poked on that too much. It was gonna be semi entertaining and also hilarious, and Asians are real, guys,
for real. I've seen them.
Yeah.
Every time I close my eyes, they're in my dreams.
Every time I close my eyes, every time I fall asleep, yeah, I still miss you, babe. I don't want to miss a thing. Even when I dream of you.
Wow.
Do you think that's enough to, like, be a, you know, to scare the, like, people who do ads away?
Maybe.
Or someone will claim the stream now.
Probably not from that rendition, but you know, yeah.
Dude, that was spot on. That was perfect. That was a perfect call. I don't even. What, isn't that a country song?
Isn't it like Aerosmith?
Oh, is it like Aerosmith? Yeah, I think it's like Aerosmith. Fucking, if you're just finding us out for the first time, thank you for fucking joining this chat. We are verbose.xyz, the weirdest middle of the road podcast to ever exist, and we still slug our way through the fucking depths of the C-SPAN era, where your only unbiased news comes from the most boring shit. And with that, we have a few clips. And they're not from C-SPAN, unfortunately. We'll have to figure that out in the future. But I got some juicy ones tonight. And some of them are long-winded, but I think they'll give us the best picture on what's going on here. That being, A, the professional wrestling that exists within both the left and the right, and how they cut clips. B, give you an idea of, like, the litigation that's behind what's, you know, each of these people who are coming forward and testifying. And C, and this is a special one for you, Crafter, the whole idea of this guy, Vindman, right? On one side, it's like, you know, respect him. He's got a Purple Heart. He's a decorated veteran. He fought for this country. On another, you know, that's the left hand. The right hand, it's all like this guy is an immigrant from Russia, and obviously we hate immigrants. And he's not decorated, and he's known for leaking information. His credibility is flawed. That's always what it is. It's like, this guy has information. This guy's credibility is flawed. But it was more than that tonight. We'll get into it more. Let's break the ice a little bit with this beautiful clip from one of my favorite professional wrestling outfits, not owned by Disney. This would be Fox News. And
yeah, brother.
Brother! Fox News in the house! And this is Adam Schiff. GOP representative grills Adam Schiff on whistleblower policy. I believe what this clip is Representative Jim Jordan out of Georgia. He is turning his attention quickly to Adam Schiff, which he shouldn't do in this proceedings, right? His time should be dedicated to asking questions of the witness. But these interruptions keep coming more and more, so like the heat is up, and he's throwing it at Schiff, because as we'll find out later on in this soap opera of bullshit, that Schiff doesn't want to give up the whistleblower, and you'll see what I mean. Here we go.
All right, thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, I would like as a...
Oh, this is another... This is an old dude. Sorry.
You and or
this is Mr. Turner.
Your lawyer, members of the committee that are lawyers, to put into the record the federal statute that provides for the absolute immunity, or right to immunity, that you've exerted over and over and over. I don't think it's there, but if it is, in fact...
you should see Schiff's face with this. He looks pissed.
That into the record so that we'll know that. And before you get mad and accuse me of wanting to out the whistleblower, you get upset every time somebody accuses you personally of knowing who the whistleblower is. I get upset every time you... anonymity. Every time you accuse me of simply, because I want to know the whistleblower, we want to know what's going on, that we want to out that interviewer. That's unfair for you to make that accusation, and I get just as mad. This is about leveling the playing field between our two teams. Your team knows the whistleblower. They have intimate knowledge of who he or she is. The IGIC, that's ICIG, even mentioned indicia of biases. Your team fully understands that. Our team should fully understand that. It's simply leveling the playing field. And I know that you've overrun my request for a closed-door subpoena. I understand that. But I do think that it's important that you put into the record the basis on which you continue to assert this absolute right to anonymity. Excuse me, I misspoke earlier. Anonymity by the whistleblower. Also, the speaker on September the 23rd issued a dear colleague. That's a document that we all use to talk to each other. It went to 434 other members of Congress. It was intended to be the truth. It was intended to be straightforward. She says in that, dear colleague, that the whistleblower has, by law, is required to testify to the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees. Now, You're defying the
granted, she's crazy.
I understand that's between you and her, but if she's correct, then you're defying the speaker, the defying the law. If on the other hand, she misled us into thinking something that was not true, then I think you need to tell the speaker that she needs to retract that dear colleague letter, at least set the record straight, as is the speaker, is the whistleblower required by law, as the speaker said, to testify to us or not, and what is his absolute right to anonymity that you question. With that, I yield back.
Time of the gentleman has expired. I'd be happy to enter into the record the whistleblower statute that allows whistleblower to remain anonymous, as well as Ranking Member Nunes' prior comments talking about the importance of anonymity for whistleblowers. And with that, I recognize Ms. Sewell.
And what I fucking blows my mind about all this is, where the fuck were you guys for Snowden?
Yeah, they all wanted his head.
Yeah. Fucking across the board, you know. Everybody wanted his head, off with his head. Now this guy is so fucking important, but he's about to overthrow what makes our government tick. Like, literally, we're going to just topple the executive or the executive branch because we're fucking pissed about some asshole there. You know, we should take a little bit of accountability of who we vote in, and maybe this should be something that we look for the fucking next election. Instead, we're wasting our fucking time. This is the shit that pisses me off. But I digress. What do you think?
I mean, it's just more of the same kind of bullshit. Like, it's just wasting hours and hours of time when they know there's no way this is going to turn into removal of office. I just don't see it happening. Even if at the end of this the House votes to impeach, the Senate won't get the 2/3 vote, and Trump will still finish his term no matter what. Just like Bill Clinton when he was impeached, it was symbolic gesture. It didn't actually change anything.
Indeed. And wasted a whole lot of time. I feel like we talked about this today with like the USMCA being on the fucking line, and just a general sense of like nothing's fucking going on. These are the people we vote in. If the people that we vote in have such a distrust in the government and the way that it's run and shit like that, we should be kind of freaked out. Like, they should be the ones that are rock solid and believe in what's going on and believe in the democratic process. But instead, it seems like everyone's just trying to fucking overthrow it.
It seems like they're kind of scared of the powers they granted to the executive branch over the years, like to the George Bush administration and then continued through the Obama administration. And now they're worried that, you know, like, maybe we went too far. Like, you went too far years ago and it was the same fucking people. How can we trust your judgment now? You should just fucking step down. Everyone,
right?
Everyone.
Or repeal some shit, you know, that makes the executive branch such a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be nice. Hey, and while you're at it, maybe do something about this Patriot Act. That'd be cool.
That'd be real nice. Like,
that'd be fucking real nice, you know. Remember what privacy is and private property and personal space. Really like those things. This is another long-winded clip, but this is from CNN. It is unbiased, yet the tagline on it, GOP lawmakers, line of questioning draws laughter. I feel like clickbait, but also when you watch the clip, it's interesting to see what it's actually kind of positive for, and it's not the DNC. This is that guy Sounds or whatever. Can't fucking remember his name. I was too obsessed with Vindman today to remember the guy from today. It was a very lively questioning with this motherfucker. You'll get to hear it in this clip. But also, again, Jim Jordan just has these really poignant questions that I love hearing the answers to. Anyways, here we go.
Master, when did it happen?
When did what happen?
The announcement. When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another point.
That's beautiful.
Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said...
Sondland is the ambassador of the EU.
Is that right? Said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
He was also appointed by the Trump administration.
Page opener.
Fun fact.
The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the president of the United States in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the president says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics. His party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in a 23-page opening statement. You know what a quid pro quo is?
I do.
This for that, right? Looks to me like Ukraine got that 3 times, and we didn't do anything. Or excuse me, they didn't have to do anything. I've never seen anything like that. And this is when the call came out. Y'all remember this? When the call came out, everyone said we're gonna quid pro quo. There's gonna be that was what was in the call, and of course that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Remember what the complaint said? Remember what the memo said of the whistleblower? This call was frightening. This call was scary. All those things. None of that materialized. None of that materialized. I yield back.
In response to my colleagues seem to be under the impression that unless the president spoke the words, Ambassador Sondland, I am
bribing the
Ukrainian president, that there's no evidence of bribery. If he didn't say, Ambassador Sondland, I'm telling you, I'm not going to give the aid unless they do this, that there's no evidence of a quid pro quo on military aid. But nonetheless, Ambassador, you've given us a lot of evidence of precisely that conditionality of both the White House meeting and the military assistance. You've told us, Ambassador, have you not, that you emailed the Secretary of State and said that if these investigations were announced, the new justice person was put in place, that the Ukrainians were prepared to give the president what he wants, and that would break the logjam. You've testified and showed us documents about this, have you not, Ambassador?
I have.
And in your written statement, you say that the logjam you're referring to includes the logjam on security assistance, correct?
Correct. As my presumption.
Yes. And we also have seen,
as my
and you
presumption,
that you have also seen, Ambassador, or rather, Acting Chief of Staff Mulvaney himself acknowledge that the military aid was withheld in part over the investigation into 2016 that you've talked about. You referenced that as well, correct?
Correct.
Now, they also seem to say that, well, they got the money. The money may have been conditioned, but they got the money. Yes, they got caught. They got caught. Now, they still don't have the White House meeting.
September 11th, 2019 is when they paid, I believe.
The statement on the investigations was the condition to get the meeting. They didn't make the statement. They got no meeting. But they got caught. You're aware, aren't you, Ambassador, that 2 days before the aid was lifted, this inexplicable aid was lifted, Congress announced it was investigating this scheme. You're aware of that, aren't you, Ambassador?
I am now, yes.
Hmm. Do you think it was leading on the part of Shifty Shift? What? I don't know. Like, it's an interesting juxtaposition going from Jim Jordan to then Speaker of the House, or I'm sorry, Chair Leader, whatever, fucking His Majesty, fucking Adam Schiff. Like,
I mean, if Adam Schiff is correct in these statements, it's the only reason there was no this after the that was because they got caught. Why did they jump on the investigation? Like, they had an opportunity to catch him red-handed in the middle of a transaction like that, and they jumped off in the middle. Nope. You gave him the money far enough. Like, they could have got the whole thing. They would have had it, you know, like, perfectly bow-tied case presented for them.
True, but you listen to more testimony. It feels like they've been at it for a while, right? Like, asking questions here. A lot of what the testimony is that actually reveals a lot of the questioning that the DNC was doing. You know, they were always seeking for these questions and eventually getting answers to them. You know, I don't know. I feel like they just weren't deep enough to get there. That's devil's advocate. I don't know. But again, that's just reaching in general. So what there was that than this? Again, leads back to the factor. Obviously, it's scumbag tactically, but is it illegal?
Is it illegal?
Is it illegal? Next contestant on the show, is this illegal? We'll be writing up some policies and telling people their money will be going towards things and we'll be using it for our own nefarious purposes.
And since we're going hypothetical, I mean, let's go another step of just believe whatever everyone says, okay, just for fun. Trump's also right, and Joe Biden was doing illegal shit, and Hunter Biden was doing illegal shit in Ukraine, okay? And so he did quid pro quo, they did illegal shit in Ukraine, and, like, why wouldn't they want to bust all this? Is it illegal at that point for the president to ask for someone to be investigated for doing illegal things in another country? I don't know. I don't, you know, like, it. If everything happened, it even opens up more questions on how do you prosecute this? Who do you prosecute first? Who fucking, you know, broke more of the law? I mean, it's very confusing.
Yeah, and I think that's why it'll be stalemated forever, because it's good for pageantry. It's good to kind of, you know, deter people from the truth. It's good as smoke and mirrors, but it ain't gonna get shit done. Like, it will be the eternal stalemate of who's the more corrupt. Who could be pointed out as the most corrupt?
I think we should lock them all up. Just lock them all up. Fuck it. Like, you know, let's just even lock them all up while we investigate thoroughly. And then, you know, we'll let them out after their trial if they're found not guilty or after they serve their time. Just like any other criminal.
Exactly. That's an interesting metaphor for what happens in our current police state of being arrested, essentially held innocently. Right. I'm air quoting here because innocent before proven guilty.
Yeah,
maybe. So, yeah, fucking quid pro quo. I mean, I guess quid it would be pro quo.
This or that. Super definitely.
Tat, super tat. Huh?
Definitely.
Yeah. Good plan. So I also wanted to express the point tonight with all of this that there's so much jargon and there's so much, like, game of telephone involved in all of this. This clip really highlights that, and the amount of, like, passing of notes in offices to, like, get the gossip story straight. This woman, former Ambassador Cooper, former ambassador of Ukraine. I believe that's who this is. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. Her name's Cooper. Her last name's Cooper. Trust and believe in that. She gives a final statement. It's like this wrap-up statement that she does after giving her testimony before taking questions. And it's very interesting. Just tell me what you think. Let's hit this up. Here we go.
That concludes my opening statement, but before answering your questions, there is one other matter I would like to address. I testified in a deposition before this committee and other committees on October 23rd, 2019. At that time, I was asked questions about what I knew about when the Ukrainian government may have learned about any hold on security assistance funds. I answered those questions based on my knowledge at that time. Since my deposition, I have again reviewed my calendar, and the only meeting where I recall a Ukrainian official raising the issue with me is on September 5th at the Ukrainian Independence Day celebration. I have, however, since learned some additional information about this subject from my staff. Prior to my deposition testimony, I avoided discussing my testimony with members of my staff or anyone other than my attorney to ensure that my deposition testimony was based only on my personal knowledge.
But
my deposition testimony was publicly released on November 11th, 2019.
Okay, that's not the but. Here's the but.
Members of my staff read the testimony and have come to me since then and provided additional information. Specifically, on the issue of Ukraine's knowledge of the hold,
these
or of Ukraine
told
asking
me
questions
I'm
about possible
it.
Issues with the flow of assistance,
got him, right?
My staff showed me two unclassified emails that they received from the State Department. One was received on July 25th at 2:31 p.m. That email said that the Ukrainian embassy and House Foreign Affairs Committee are asking about security assistance. The second email was received on July 25th at 4:25 p.m. That email said that the Hill knows about the FMF situation to an extent, and so does the Ukrainian embassy. I did not receive either of these emails. My staff does not recall informing me about them, and I do not recall being made aware of their content at the time.
I have info for you, but
I do not have any additional information about precisely what the Ukrainians may have said, what may have been their source of information about a hold or any possible issues with the flow of assistance, or what the State Department officials may have told them. My staff also advised me in the last few days of the following additional facts that may be relevant to this inquiry.
Facts.
Again, my staff does not
recall.
And I do not recall being made aware of this.
I do not recall this, but these
on
are facts.
On July 3rd at 4:23 p.m., they received an email from the State Department stating that they had heard that the CN is currently being blocked by OMB. This apparently refers to the congressional notification state would send for Ukraine FMF. I have no further information on this.
How many letters?
On July 25th,
yeah,
a member of my staff got a question from a Ukraine embassy contact asking what was going on with Ukraine security assistance. Because at that time, we did not know what the guidance was on USAI. The OMB notice of apportionment arrived that day, but the staff member did not find out about it until later. I was informed that the staff member told the Ukrainian official that we were moving forward on USAI,
what?
But recommended that the Ukraine embassy check in with state regarding the FMF. Sometime during the week of August 6 to 10, a Ukraine embassy officer told a member of my staff that a Ukrainian official might raise concerns about security assistance in an upcoming meeting. My understanding is that the issue was not, in fact, raised. Again, I have no further information about what concerns about the security assistance Ukraine may have had at that time. My staff also recall thinking that Ukrainians were aware of the hold on security assistance during August, but they cannot pinpoint any specific conversations where it came up. My staff told me they are aware
we
of additional
don't
meetings
write
where
shit
they
down
saw
like
officials
from
the Ukrainian embassy in August.
But we have these vague
they
memories.
That the question of the hold came
my
up
staff
at some
recalls.
Point.
This is a fact.
But they told me they did not find any corresponding email or other records of those meetings. Consequently, neither they nor I know precisely when or what additional discussions
what?
May have occurred with the Ukrainians
oh
in the
God.
Month of August.
That's some fucking,
if I had more details
oh
on these matters,
like
I would offer them to the committee. But this is the extent of additional information I have received since my deposition. Mr. Chairman, I welcome your questions.
Causes bloating,
I will answer them
leakage,
to the best of my ability. Thank you.
Yeah. So there you have it.
These statements may or may not have been approved by my handlers in the CIA.
I do not know what I am truly talking about, but I don't want to get in trouble. I've been told to do so, but I cannot tell you who told me to do so.
Yeah. And it is these... her staff. It's like, you know, do you think her staff tells her what to do? Yeah. Does she have a
lawyer? So you mean
staff?
Your lawyers? Your legal staff? Speaking of legal staff, I'm very excited about these last two clips for you particular, because you and I have also had a lot of conversations about military service as well as police service. We'll leave it at that. We talked about this guy and what he means to America, this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, and being respected on a public stage as far as his rank is concerned. And you mentioned to me he has a Purple Heart. Obviously, he's a lieutenant colonel. He looks like a decorated...
Two brothers dude. Still in the military as well. A twin brother and a younger brother, I think. And both of them are pretty high ranking.
I'll tell you one thing, though. After watching a bunch of this footage with this guy, he got roasted, man. And he, you know, I don't care how high ranking you are in anything. And this is no respect to military dudes. This is just like being someone who made it really far but didn't really deserve how far they got. And I'm not saying this about you, Vindman. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, if you're out there listening for some reason, or you got like a fucking walkthrough to the NSA or some shit, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is what occurs a lot of times and what could be possibly going on with this dude is that he made it there because he's a sneaky, slimy motherfucker that climbed into the spot. Doesn't really deserve it, and actually is kind of fucking, he's got a little bit of a, you know, loose lips sink ship kind of attitude. That's a possibility, too. It's a possibility that people do things and say things that tout them higher than they actually are. This will be the first one. And you tell me what you think of your boy, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, after... we are done here. And by the way, shout out to Fox 10 in Phoenix. Your clips are dank. I do need to get on the ball after rebuilding my computer and doing clips again myself. These are some dank-ass clips. Keep doing what you're doing. Here we go. This is Nunes, I believe. Devin Nunes questioning your boy Vindman and Schiff redirecting the line of questioning. This actually has a double entendre of amazingness. Here we go.
Right, but the question the question is, do you know any individual, do you personally know any individual who discussed the substance of the July 25th phone call or any matter associated with the call with any member of the press?
Thank you, ranking member, for clarifying. I do not.
Thank you. Ms. Williams, did you discuss the July 25th phone call with anyone outside the White House on July 25th or July 26th? And if so, with whom?
No, I did not discuss the call with anyone outside or inside the White House.
Ms. Williams, during your time on the NSC, have you ever accessed a colleague's work computer without their prior authorization or approval?
I have not. Just to clarify, I'm in the office of the Vice President, so not on the NSC.
Right, but... representing
no, I have
Vice
not.
President.
No.
Thank you for that clarification. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, did you discuss the Thank July you. 25th phone call with anyone outside the White House on July 25th or the 26th? And if so, with whom?
Yes, I did. My core function is to coordinate U.S. government policy, interagency policy, and I spoke to two individuals with regards to providing some sort of readout of the call.
Two individuals that were not in the White House.
Readout.
Not in the White House.
I forgot the word.
U.S. government officials with
the Here's the juice, juice.
Appropriate need to know.
And what agencies were these officials with?
Department of State, Department of State Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent, who is responsible for the portfolio Eastern Europe, including Ukraine, and a individual from the Office of... an individual in the intelligence community.
As you know, right. The intelligence community has 17 different agencies. What agency was this individual from?
If I could interject here.
Adam Schiff, what?
We don't want to use these proceedings.
It's our time,
I know,
Mr. Chair.
But we need to protect the whistleblower.
Wait, what?
Please stop.
I want to make sure that there's no effort to out the whistleblower through the use of these proceedings. If the witness has a good faith belief that this may reveal the identity of the whistleblower, that is not the purpose that we are here for, and I want to advise the witness accordingly. Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was or is.
I do not know who the whistleblower is. That is.
Well, how is it possible for you to name these people and then out the whistleblower?
Good question.
The advice of my counsel, I've been advised not to answer specific questions.
I thought we knew the whistleblower's
members
name.
Members of the intelligence community.
Yeah, we do.
This is. Are you aware that this is the intelligence committee that's conducting an impeachment hearing?
Of course I am.
Wouldn't the appropriate place for you to come to testify would be the intelligence committee about someone within the intelligence community?
Ranking member, per the advice of my counsel and the instructions from the chairman, I've been advised not to provide any specifics on who I have spoken to with inside the intelligence community. What I can offer is that these were properly cleared individuals, or was a properly cleared individual with a need to know.
Well, this is, you can plead the fifth. But you're here to answer questions, and you're here under subpoena. So you can either answer the question or you can plead the fifth.
Excuse me.
Who is this?
On behalf of my client, we are following the rule of the committee,
Lieutenant
the rule
Vindman
of the chair,
as a lawyer.
With regard to this issue. And this does not call for an answer that is invoking the fifth or any theoretical
the chair.
Issue like that.
Like a shifty
we're following the ruling of the chair.
Says
what,
don't
counsel,
talk about
what ruling is that?
The whistleblower.
I could interject. Counsel is correct. Whistleblower has the right, statutory right to anonymity. These proceedings will not be used to out the whistleblower.
And I've advised my client accordingly, and he's going to follow the ruling of the chair. If there's an alternative or you want to work something out with the chair, that's up to you, Mr. Nunes.
Well, we've attempted to subpoena the whistleblower to sit for a deposition. The chair has tabled that motion and then has been unwilling to recognize those motions the last few days of this impeachment inquisition process. Well, that I'll go to Mr. Castor.
Thank you, Mr. Nunes.
And then they hand it off to Mr. Castor that has nothing fucking good to say. I love that. They're like, fuck, now we have to sit through half an hour of this guy asking retarded-ass questions. Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
But previous to that, very interesting. What do you think of Schiff's intervention there? And I thought the whistleblower was already a thing. What the fuck is this?
I mean, they released some name. Who knows if it's the real name? It was on a whole bunch of news sites and stuff. But people got really upset about it, so it probably is the correct name. I don't know who that person is, but I read the name somewhere.
Hmm. Now, fucking Nunes, I think, kind of shines a little bit of light on what this guy's all about, you know? And what do you think now, kind of hearing his voice, putting, the suit, the army, I'm sorry, the, what do you fucking call that thing? His military attire.
Formal
military attire, there we go.
With his, medals and shit and everything.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, presented with something, like, we create these pictures in our mind. You might read something and be like, okay, yeah, this guy, decorated vet. Why wouldn't anybody give him the fucking time of day? Why wouldn't people give him the respect he deserves?
I mean, it really comes down to that last question. They just, the way he came off with that, like, and, then the lawyer, no, he doesn't have to plead the fifth. He can just say this because the chair said this, because of the director by the chair. Like, when did this get directed like that? Like, when did you guys sit in the back room and say, okay, you can phrase this way, but not this way? Like, it's very
I don't know. I feel like
definitely seems that the chair talked to the witness before testimony then, right? Or at least to the attorney.
Right, true. But also you see within that, like, he gets so close to, like, spilling the beans, you know, don't you feel like where he's on he's telling the people around him that are involved, the agencies that they're involved in. But then when he gets close to this one guy that works for an intelligence agency, he can't go any further, but he gets you that close. Doesn't that feel close to, like, divulging things or getting close to being led in that direction?
I mean, yeah, it was definitely going that way. But it's weird that it's such a secret. Like, it's very serious business. I mean, yes, he's a whistleblower and all, but, like, you can't even talk about what intelligence agency he works for at all. Like,
yeah,
like, you can't say, oh, this is NSA or this is CIA or, you know, anything. Like, I mean, the CIA has, like, secret spies with, like, names not even on the record. I mean, like, they don't, you know, they can come in as John Doe. Like,
maybe it's more obvious than that. I don't know. I mean, look up that name up in TV watching land and get back to us next week. Because I think that's interesting. Like, does this add to the whole facade and drama that it just can't be talked about in court? It can't be released in court, so it's not officially on the books, but everybody else knows it.
Yeah, it definitely one side knows it. I mean, the, you know, Schiff and you know, the other leading Democrat,
the DNC, yeah,
they know, and they will not say for sure to anyone. That's kind of, you know, like, I mean, I understand it's a whistleblower and you want to take these investigations seriously, but that's just such a weird way to handle it. Like, our side knows and your side doesn't. Like, why would everyone in the DNC need to know?
And Schiff still maintains to this day that he doesn't fucking know. Why I would be a bad host to not give you a clip where Jim Jordan himself calls out Shifty Shift on that. I have it for you now. Enjoy the clip. It's actually a trifecta. It's Jim Jordan laying into fucking Lieutenant Colonel Vindman while being interjected by a point of interest. Is that what it is? A point of... God damn it. The meeting speak is so fucking thick. But then you get to see Jim Jordan firing back at Schiff. So a little bit of back and forth there. It's kind of beautiful. Here it comes for you. The final clip. Again, from Fox 10. You guys are awesome out there in Phoenix. We don't believe you. : Jim Jordan calls out Schiff for knowing who the whistleblower is. A booyaka.
Bam.
I thank the ranking member. Colonel, I want to thank you for your service and sacrifice to our great country. This afternoon, your former boss, Mr. Morrison, is going to be sitting right where you're sitting, and he's going to testify. And I want to give you a chance. I think we're bringing you a copy. I want to give you a chance to respond to some of the things Mr. Morrison said in his deposition, page 82 of the transcript from Mr. Morrison. Mr. Morrison said this: I had concerns about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's judgment. Among the discussions I had with Dr. Hill in the transition was our team, its strength, its weaknesses, and Fiona and others had raised concerns about Alex's judgment. When Mr. Morris was asked by Mr. Castor, did anyone ever bring concerns to you that they believe Colonel Vindman may have leaked something, Mr. Morrison replied, yes.
So if anybody had, like, a written...
Your boss had concerns about your judgment. Your former boss, Dr. Hill, had concerns about your judgment. Your colleagues had concerns about your judgment.
A written letter of, like...
And your colleagues felt that there were times when you leaked information. Any idea why they
have those impressions,
Colonel Vindman? Of, like, kudos
or something, you know?
Colonel
Vindman? I could just bring in a piece of paper.
Representative Jordan, I guess I'll start by reading Dr. Hill's own words as she attested to in my last evaluation that was dated middle of July, right before she left. Alex is a top 1% military officer and the best Army officer I've worked with in my 15 years of government service. He is brilliant, unflappable, and exercises excellent judgment.
Flapper, yes, one of those.
He was exemplary during numerous visits, so forth and so on, but I think you get the idea. Mr. Morrison, yeah, the date of that was...
talking with a lawyer.
Let's see, I'm sorry. July 13th.
Like, yeah, so, the lawyer's feeding him everything.
Jordan, I would
like,
say that word I can't for word. Say like, what he doesn't even know Mr. What Morrison, think. Why nope. Mr. Morrison
they're looking
judgment.
At pieces of paper together.
We recently started
dates.
Working together. He's
so unorganized.
He wasn't there very long.
He should be on verbose, too.
We were just trying to figure out our relationship. Maybe it was a different cultures, military culture versus...
And, Colonel, you never leaked information?
I never did, never would. That is preposterous that I would do that.
Okay. Colonel, it's interesting. We've deposed a lot of people in the bunker in the basement of the Capitol over the last several weeks. But of all those depositions, only three of the individuals we deposed... We're actually on the now somewhat famous July 25th phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. There was you, the individual sitting beside you, Ms. Williams, and then there, were, of course, was your boss, Mr. Morrison, who I just read from his deposition. When we asked Ms. Williams, who she spoke to after the call about the call, she was willing to answer our questions, and chairmanship allowed her to answer our questions. When we asked Mr. Morrison, who he spoke to after the call about the call, he was willing to answer our question, and Mr. Schiff allowed, chairmanship allowed him to answer our question. But when we asked you, you first told us three individuals at the NSC, your brother and the two lawyers. And then you said there was a group of other people you communicated with, but you would only give us one individual in that group, Secretary Kent, and the chairman would only allow you to give us that name. When we ask you who else you communicated with, you would not tell us. So I want to know first, how many other people are in that group of people you communicated with outside the four individuals
I just
named?
The lawyer's freaking out with this question,
by the
way.
Mr. Jordan, on call readout, certainly after the first call, there were probably a half a dozen or more people that I read out. Those are people with the proper clearance and the need to know. In this case, because of the sensitivity of the call and Mr. Eisenberg told me not to speak to anybody else, I only read out outside of the NSC two individuals.
Two individuals.
Das Kent and one other person.
And you're not willing to tell us who that other individual is?
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Chairman,
point of
okay,
order.
Okay, lawyers,
the gentleman
looking
suspend,
through.
Counsel.
Point of order.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to enforce the rule
here comes
with regard
the juice.
To disclosure with regard to the intelligence officer.
Thank you, counsel. You know, as I indicated before, this committee will not be used to out the whistleblower. That same
Mr. Chairman,
necessity
can you first stop the time so I don't lose the
will
time?
Will persist. You are recognized again, Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see how this is outing the whistleblower. The witness has testified in his deposition that he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. You have said, even though no one believes you, you have said you don't know who the whistleblower is.
Oh.
So how is this outing the whistleblower?
How do they keep
censoring
the guy's name if they don't know it?
Right.
Jordan, this is your time for questioning. You can use it any way you like, but
what?
Your question should be addressed to the
and
witness.
I'd like to...
And your question should not be addressed to trying to out the whistleblower.
Well, okay. Colonel Vindman. There's another thing Mr. Morrison told us in his deposition. He said he was not concerned about the call itself. He said there was nothing illegal or improper on the call, but he was concerned about the call leaking, the contents of the call leaking. He said this. He was concerned how it would play out in Washington's polarized environment, how the contents would be used in Washington's political process. Mr. Morrison was right.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan, could I get a page?
Page 44. Thank Mr.
You.
Morrison was right. The call leaks. The whistleblower goes to chairmanship, staff. Then he runs off to the lawyer, the same lawyer who said in January of 2017 the coup has started against President Trump. The one thing the Democrats didn't, one thing they didn't count on was the president releasing the call transcript and letting us all see what he said. They didn't count on that. Transcript shows no linkage. The two individuals on the call have both said no pressure, no pushing, no linkage, but security assistance dollars to an investigation.
Of course they would say that.
Ms. Williams?
Both interests.
After
they
the
want
call
their
on the 25th,
cut.
We know that
they
Colonel
Bittman
talked
shit.
To several people. After the call on the 25th, how many people did you talk to about the call?
I did not speak to anybody about the call.
Didn't speak to anybody.
No.
I yield back.
Mr. Himes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I ask unanimous consent to enter the Lieutenant Colonel's performance review of the record.
May I inquire of Colonel Vindman whether you would like us to do that? If you would, we're happy to.
I forgot
if
about
you would
this.
Prefer it not be in the record, I leave that to
you. Well, the performance review has things in it.
Yeah, I guess with redactions, it has PII in it, and that should be protected. And maybe the only elements that are relevant are the actual narrative. Chairman.
Did you read the relevant portions? Or
I mean, that was the short version. There were some other paragraphs in there. But
Chairman, I'll withdraw my request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you both for your testimony. Ms. Williams, you joined the Foreign Service in 2006, correct?
Correct.
Prior to becoming a nonpartisan career official, you worked as a field representative.
Yeah, there we go. Anyways.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Point of order.
That's what it is.
I don't know what to fucking say. Help me out here.
Point of order. You're out of order, and you're encroaching upon the whistleblower's identity. We can't have that be
which
a thing.
Which I do not know.
Which I do not know, but still. I know you can hear it in his inflections, but watching this guy as Jim Jordan is grilling him, he's literally not able to keep eye contact. He's looking back at his lawyer, shaking, responding to him. Like, it's absolutely amazing. It's the guy's definitely nervous.
I think kind of more forced into it. Like, we gave you this fucking position, now you're fucking OS.
Yeah, right? For real, man. Stooges. And Jim Jordan, God bless this man. He does his research. You know, page 44, man. I already have all this detailed out and exactly what I'm going to say, and it's out here in Discovery. It's right here for all y'all. Because I want you to know what I'm about to say.
And it is from someone who wants to just despise the Republican Party because of George W. Bush era stuff. You know, like, they're the ones sounding logical in this argument, unfortunately. Like, the Democrats are shutting it down. They don't want to have a real discussion. They want to just, you can't talk about that. No, you can't talk about that. Like, they want to guide their witnesses to a certain direction. They have, it's like AOC's lawyers did all the questioning that you word it in a certain way to get the answers you want. But the Republican Party, like in these examples, are asking the logical questions.
It's too easy for them to do because DNC has gone batshit crazy, but it just only makes the Republican Party look better because it really isn't better, so to speak.
It's all swamp.
It's all swamp. Like, these guys, Jim Jordan, they're impressive to hear, but at the same token, they're the ones engaging in this bullshit that's keeping our country at this fucking gridlock, you know? I don't know. Shout out to fucking Gowdy, too. That guy fucking's got a mouth on him. It's always the Republicans, man, or like the staunch independents. The DNC, even watching the debates, it's just like these robots. This is my opinion on the things that I believe in. Please vote for me. I relate to you as a human. Fucking Republican Party, it's like the fucking redneck down the street that sometimes says the N-word but always gets you drunk. Yeah. I feel like we don't fucking talk about titties anymore, man. I apologize for that, dude.
Just Orange Man.
It's been Orange Man. I can't say bad or good. There's a lot of bad. I guess, yeah, Orange Man bad. But Orange Man, our president, and the fucking, he's just one branch, man. You guys do some shit. Why are you focusing on this fucking clown? This is America's fault, okay? Get back to doing what we ask you to do, which is fucking make America truly great.
More titties.
And more titties. Fuck. And that's my pledge to you and to all of you out there. Is somehow we're going to take clips of titties so that you hear those over the airwaves. And one thing that you could never stop hearing... Bounce. Dude, the ignorance that we pump into people's ears through that which comes from current disco music, aka rap or hip hop or pop. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's amazing. That's one thing that I love in my life most is christening the ears of the unindoctrinated to the worst possible gangsta ignorance of a lifetime. I hope one day, someday, someone takes that clip and tries to paint me as a racist. That'd be cool. Yeah. That means that people are actually watching us. That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, probably like 20 years from now. Well, this podcast 20 years ago, you said this, blah, 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 so we should fucking murder you.
ain't that what it's gonna get to, man?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. More like, you know, fucking reason to get EMPs and just damn it all, damn all the technology to hell. Fucking start. We gotta start. Stop like Skynet from taking over, or should I say Starlink?
Starlink, Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Muskrat. or the revolutionary Elon Musket.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I did it, finally. Fucking, yeah, man. I don't know, but this is fun too. Fuck it. It happens. Government happens. And I hope it ends soon, man, because there's some other shit. I'd like to see something on the horizon of this. 2020 elections are going to be off the chain. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it all just settles down, the circus ends, and we can get back to titties and beer.
Yeah. I don't mind hot wings, too, man.
Okay, we'll throw some hot sauce on the titties and the beer, but I can't promise no wings.
Hell yeah. I'm all about hot sauce in both beer and on titties. Amazing. I gotta say, shout out to Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
One day, please come on our show. That's the only way we're ever gonna get views.
Please, Alex Jones, come on our show.
As a friendly reminder, Epstein did not kill himself.
Epstein did not.
He did not kill himself. Straight Palestine, dude. For life. You know everybody been waiting. And the ignorance pumping loud to die. I'm loving it. Egypt, you bisexual. Fucking might as well say the same thing for Syria and Iran. Shout out to Israel right now. It looks like the U.S. government is looking at you as a legitimate territory or settlement, but they're going to back out from any sort of intervention into the Gaza Strip. That kind of throws out those Jewish conspiracies a little bit about, like, that, or like Trump's paying that much attention, and his lawyers are paying that much attention to the narrative.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be some shit?
But in the end, Israel's entering other men's shit. Because
what does that mean? What does that mean, though?
The gay is real.
That's what I'm talking about. We are verbose.xyz. We will see you next time. I needed some shit with some bop in it. Let's go. I flew past the whip with that blunt in my mouth, watch the swerving, that whip had a cop in it. Hey. My bitch got good pussy, fly her across the country. I finished the show and I hop in it. Yeah. I got me a milli, I did it legitly. I'm still with the shits, I'm a hot next. I'm unorthodox than a motherfucker. Hey, when you gon' switch the flow? I thought you never asked. Niggas ain't fucking with me and ain't about what the fuck they be rapping about with. They look scary ass. But to each his own, nigga. If you like it, I love it. No big, no fee. That boy say he get money. Oh, really? How much they just cut you a check for? A milli. I'm going back to Cali like big. Go back. About to go get a pound just to smoke. I smoke. They told me to come work on my album. I'm trying to go find out the price on the boat. Okay. My little bitch act like Megan Thee Stallion. She ghetto and nasty. She driving the boat. Drive the boat. All this shit that they making be born. Give me something to bop while I ride with the pole. Here you go. Okay. I needed some shit with some bop in it. I flew past the whip with that blunt in my mouth. Watch the swerving. That whip had a cop in it. Woo. My bitch got good pussy. Fly her across the country. I finished the show and I hop in it. I got me a milli. I did it legitly. I'm still with the shits. I'm a hot nigga. I'm hot. Like, this shit for, like, you know, the sophisticated ratchet hoe, you know. The ones that go to work by day, then, you know, dance in the mirror by night. Ha! I needed some shit with some bop in it. I flew past the whip with that blunt in my mouth, watched the swerving, that whip had a cop in it. My bitch got good pussy, fly her across the country. I finished the show and I hop in it. I got me a milli, I did it legitly. I'm still with the shits, I'm a hot nigga. Hot. Oh, you asking for pictures with niggas? What's your name? Get the fuck out the spot, nigga. Trying to figure which deal I'ma take. Uh-huh. I woke up, couple meal on my pound.